want to wish everybody, in anticipation of Chodesh, which is not today, of course, want to wish everyone a Chodesh Tov, and Chazal tell us, Chazal tell us, Mishivishnas Adar, Marbin B'Simcha, when Adar comes, we increase our Simcha. And Rav Schwab used to say that you have to be B'Simcha the whole year, but Adar, you're Marbin B'Simcha. And although we are Machmir, to start it from Adar Aleph, but the Iker is the Zman of Purim, which is Adar Sheni. So if we were Marbi B'Simcha, the Adar Aleph, we should be Marbi, even Marba, Riboy Al Riboy, in Adar Sheni. It's interesting that Rav Yenis Anepshitz actually says, he has an interesting proof, that the whole miracle of Purim actually occurred in a leap year, meaning the first Purim was Adar Sheni. It was an Ibri year that year. That this is how he wants to be the Yashiv Akasha on Haman, because when Haman was looking for the right month to kill the Jewish people, he came up with the month of Adar, and he was very happy, because Adar is a bad month for the Jews, because that is the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died, and therefore that's a bad month for the Jews. But Haman was mistaken, because Enochinani, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu died, but it was also the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, so it was a Zman of Yeshua, a Zman of Geula. So again, Snapchat asks, what was Haman's Havamina? Didn't Haman know that Moshe Rabbeinu, if he knew when Moshe Rabbeinu died, he probably knew when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So Rav Yenison Aikis as a whole pupil, I don't want to be marishing it too much, he basically, that's not my thing, but he basically says that Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Adar Aleph, and Moshe Rabbeinu died in Adar Sheni. Memela, Haman, who comes up with Adar Sheni as the Zman to kill the Jewish people, he only saw Adar Sheni as a bad month, because that was the month Moshe Rabbeinu died, and Moshe Rabbeinu being born was Adar Aleph, and Memela, Adar Sheni was only bad and not good. His mistake was, halachically, we treat both others as a single consolidated unit, and Rav Yenison Aikis is marish in this in many, many ways. But the main thing I wanted to talk about is the following. We are told that when Haman was Gezer, that the Jewish people would be destroyed. So everybody is fasting for 3 days. And at some point, Mordechai meets a child learning in Cheder, and Mordechai asks the child, tell me the psukim that you learned. Because there was a belief that the pasuk that a child will come up with is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he stops the first child, and the child gives him a pasuk. These are the psukim that appear after Aleinu. Al tira mi pachad kisam. Do not be afraid of a sudden fear when you show us Rishoyim Kisavo and the holocaust of the evildoers when it comes. Sounds good. Reassurance. He then stops the second child. And the child gives him the pasuk, Utsu Eitza Visufar. They make a conspiracy, and that conspiracy is annulled. Dabru Dabur Velo Yakum. They speak, and it does not come to pass. Ki Imanu Tail, because Hashem is with us. Baruch Hashem, second pasuk. He then stops the third child, because three times we hold establishes a chazaka. And the child quotes another pasuk, Adseva Nihuba Zikna Aniyaspo. Hashem says, I will bear the burdens of Am Yisrael until my old age, of course that's forever. Aniyasisi Viniyasa, I made you and I will bear your burdens, via Malek, and I will give you salvation. So when Mordechai hears three psukim, all of which talk about Hashem's Yeshua, Hashem's salvation, he understood that he was getting a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there would be a Yeshua, there would be a Geula, and Mordechai was able to then have Simcha in the Besoras HaGeulah. The Vilna Gaon says that these three psukim are actually remuzim. They are not just stam psukim that talk about good things happening, but they are specific remuzim to the encounters of the Jewish people with Amalek. We have three major encounters where Amalek tried to destroy us. I'm not counting the war of Shaul against Amalek, because that's when we tried to destroy them. But three times, Amalek attacks the Jewish people. The first time is right after we leave Mitzrayim, where the whole world was afraid of us. The whole world looked at the Jewish people like a boiling hot bath that you don't dare touch. And Amalek was the first nation that attacked us. And although they got burnt, like somebody who falls into a boiling bath, but they made it cooler for other people. They created at least the possibility, the Havamina, that you could wage war against Bnei Yisrael. Yes, Amalek got burnt, but the next group might be more successful. That's the first cousin. Al tira mi pachat kisam. Do not be afraid of a sudden pachat. Amalek's attack was sudden. There was no warning. There was no provocation. There was no expectation. So pasuk number one is reminding Mordechai, remember when Amalek attacked you and you left Mitzrayim, I gave you Yeshua. The second time Amalek attacked us is actually not beferish, it is not explicit in the Torah, but it's based on a drasha. And that is when Aaron HaKayin died, and the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory, dispersed. It says we were attacked by the Canaanim, the Canaanites. Rashi brings the Medrash that actually they were Amalekim, who disguised themselves as Canaanim in the hope that Moshe would pray to give us salvation from the Canaanim, and that wouldn't work on the Amalekim. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew there may have been a ruse, and that's why his tefillah was, in Nason Titenes Ha'am Hazeh, if you deliver the nation, whoever they are. So the second time, Amalek came with a disguise. That's called an Eitzah, a conspiracy, a plan. That's the second pasuk. Utsu Eitzah V'Sufar, they engage in Eitzahs, plans, strategies, conspiracies. So what is the second pasuk telling Mordechai? Remember the second time that there was a Yeshua. Right? A Yid builds emuna. Generally, how do you build emuna? How do you build bitachon? By remembering the past. By remembering the times that Hashem gave us Yeshua. The third pasuk refers specifically to Haman. Because the Medrash tells us that when people brought up to Haman, how can you think you can kill the Jewish people? Hashem helped them in Mitzrayim, in the Midbar. So Haman's response was, literally, Elekechem shaleilu zakeinu. God is old, God is weak. He did all of this stuff so long ago. He's a zakein. What does the third pasuk say? Adziknanihu, that even in my so-called old age, I'm still here. So the way the Gra understands it, these three psukim are not simply stamazai talking about the fact that Hashem helps the Jewish people, but rather they are specifically targeted towards our encounter with Amalek. Haman, of course, is from Zera Amalek. Haman is the descendant of the king of Agag that Shaul spared, and in the very short time between Shaul letting him go and Shmuel killing him, Agag impregnated a woman who became the ancestor of Haman HaRasha. And that is why, of course, Mordechai and Esther, that are from the Zera of Shaul HaMelech, have to rectify what Shaul HaMelech failed to do. So what are the three psukim? The first two psukim are reminding Mordechai of the past encounters with Amalek. And the third pasuk is giving him a chizuk that this encounter too, even though the Eidishter Kaviyachal is old, this encounter too will be successful. So what I want is, I want to be myself a little bit of explanation in the very short words of the Gra to explain how indeed Purim is in fact a combination of the first encounter with Amalek and the second encounter. You have encounter one, encounter two, and Purim is a mizuk. Purim is a synthesis. It is a mixture of the two encounters with Amalek. The emphasis, it says in all of the Svarim, that the kayach of Amalek over Am Yisrael, the kayach that Amalek has to hurt us, to vanquish us, to be mitzar with, is a function of spiritual weaknesses that are within us. That when we are mechuyev to eradicate Amalek, it does not only refer to the external Amalek that we have to destroy. But rather, we have to eradicate a certain pagam within us. And by eradicating the pagam within us, we get spiritually empowered to destroy the Amalek outside of us. To put it another way, when there's an outer Amalek, there must be an inner Amalek, because when we eradicate the inner Amalek, the outer Amalek becomes an illusion, and it ceases to exist. So what are the inner Amalek, which makes us susceptible and vulnerable to the outer Amalek? So we find that the very first time Amalek attacked us was in the oasis of Rephidim. They attacked us in a place called Rephidim. Rephidim is a place. But Chazal also say Rephidim is an acronym for the words Rafu Yadayim Minatora. Rephidim. Rifyayim Yadayim. Rafu Yadayim Minatora. Rafu Yadayim Minatora literally means their hands are weak with the Torah. This is an idiomatic expression. And the imagery that it's suggesting is this. When you care about something, imagine you're holding your baby and you're crossing Shimon HaTzadik or a busy street. You hold what you care about very tightly. When you don't care about something, it's a little looser. So let it drop. So Rifyin Yadayim is a certain attitude in which a person keeps Torah, a person keeps mitzvahs, but he does so loosely, meaning without passion, without excitement, without commitment. Rifyin Yadayim, a certain casualness, not caring, indifference, complacency. Chazal tell us, the sheirish that allows Amalek to attack us is when even if we're keeping Torah and mitzvahs, we do so with Rifyin Yadayim, a lack of geschmack, a lack of passion, a certain complacency, taking it for granted, not appreciating it. Rav Tzadok actually says that you can locate that same idea in a different part of the pasuk. Amalek, or in Kisese. In Kisese it says, Asher korcha baderech, Amalek encountered you on the way. And Rashi brings a medrash that korcha is Amalek made you cold, and that's where Rashi gives you the mashal, the medrash gives you the mashal of the boiling hot bath, that Amalek made you colder. But Rav Tzadok takes the same etymology, the same lashon, and gives a different twist. He says, the sheirish of Amalek is coldness of the heart. A person can do mitzvahs, but without passion, without emotion, without feeling, without hergish, just going through the motions. Now, of course, let me add, it is better to go through the motions than not to go through the motions, indeed. Somebody once went to the Chafetz Chaim and said, Rebbe! I can't learn with geschmack. I'm not learning with excitement and islavas. So the Chavis Chaim said, so I guess you have to learn a little bit without islavas. Einachinami. That's very, very true. And a person who does that will get much, much schar. But certainly that's not the goal. Certainly that's not where Hashem wants us to end up. Hashem wants us to end up with passion and excitement and appreciation. That's why every morning in Birchas HaTorah, we don't just say, no, you gave us the Torah, but we ask Hashem, Vaharevna, make it sweet, make it geschmack. You know, the Egelei Tau, in a very famous Hakdama, says, some people think that learning Torah Lishma means you're not supposed to enjoy it, because if you enjoy it, it's not Lishma, enjoy it. He says, that's a big tais, because it is the Ratzon HaBayrich that we be margish mesikas in Torah especially, and really in all of us. That it should be, this is what Kohelet says. Kohelet says, Mesuka Shanas Ha'ayved. Sweet is the sleep of the worker. For some interpreted literally, you know, you work hard in the day, you have a nice sleep at night. But the Svarim all say, it's a remez to Avedas Hashem. Mesuka Shanas Ha'ayved. There has to be Mesikas in Avedas Hashem. That shenas can also have a double meaning, the sleep of the worker, and it can mean the year of the worker. The year of the worker, the whole cycle of the year, should be one of sweetness. So Rav Tzadok locates it, so Chazal, Darshan, Rafidim, Rafu Yadayim. Rav Tzadok takes it into the word korcha, it is the coldness of the heart that scares a person, that is an inner Amalek. And the reason why that's considered to be Amalek is the following. Amalek themselves represents a notion of coldness. It's a little different than we think. We think of Amalek as kind of the fanatical axe murderer or suicide bomber who just wants to destroy. In reality, Chazal depicts a different picture of Amalek. Amalek is not the fanatical axe murderer. Amalek is the cool, collected, three-piece suits, professional, skeptic, in which everything is relative, not invested in anything. That's why the Svarim say Amalek is the same gematria as Hasapik. He doubts. Who doubts? You meet an Amaleki, you're not going to see some fanatical person who believes in something. Lehepek. Amalek is bedakta, the person who believes in nothing. Nothing counts. What does it say? Everything has a price and nothing has a value. That's what they say about the American morality in general. So Memela, the coldness of your heart, the skepticism, the moral relativism, that nothing matters. That's Amalek. And that pagam within us, within me, makes me vulnerable to the Amalek. That is pagam number one of Amalek. But there's a pagam number two of Amalek. That is, Amalek also comes because of sinas china, hatred and polarization. Because Alibi the MS, Amalek is very closely related to us, much more so than any other nation. Amalek is the grandson of Esav. Esav is our brother in some ways. Esav was Yaakov Avinu's twin brother. And Amalek attacked us for no reason. There was nothing they could gain. There was no land. It just represents a sinas chinam, a hatred without gavul. And the Mele, we find in many Makairis that when we have sinas chinam against our fellow Jews, we become vulnerable to the sinas chinam, the irrational hatred of Amalek. The sinas achim within us is gorei, the sinas achim yibachos as well. Where do we find that Amalek is the pusher to sinas chinam? The Gemara in Bava Basra makes a very interesting observation. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that the zera of Amalek, the children of Amalek, can only be defeated by the children of Rachel and not the children of Leah. It's Gemara in Bava Basra. That's why it says, Vaya beis Yosef Eish, beis Esav Lahava. That beis Yosef, which is zera Rachel, is the fire. And Beis Esav will be Kash, rather. Beis Esav will be Kash, the straw. And the Meshech Chacham is Masber. First of all, you see this all the way. Who led the first war against Amalek in the Midbar? It was Yoshua bin Nun. He is from Shevet Ephraim. That is Zerah Rachel, Yosef. The second war, not in the Midbar, but the second war that's recorded in the Tanakh specifically, was led by Shaul HaMelech, who's from the tribe of Binyamin. Again, Rachel. And that is why when Shaul HaMelech was unable to finish the job, David HaMelech was not given the command to vanquish Amalek, because being from Shevet Yehuda, he would not have been able to do so. That is why, mystically, the Gemara in Sukkah, and of course the Zohar elaborates in great Arichas, we have a Mashiach ben Yosef before a Mashiach ben David, and the purpose of Mashiach ben Yosef is lahachris zarei shel Amalek before we have Mashiach ben David. That is why Mordechai and Esther, as I said before, who come from Shaul, are the ones who eradicate Haman. You see consistently that Amalek can be defeated only by the children of Rachel and not the children of Leah. Sometimes it's Yosef, sometimes it's Binyamin. It's an interesting question, why sometimes one, sometimes the other. But the common denominator is that it's Zerah Rachel, it's not Zerah Leah. What is so important about Zerah Rachel? So there are a few in Yonah. First of all, Mitzad Rachel herself, her willingness to give her secret identification symbols to Leah in order that Leah should not be embarrassed the night of the marriage, in itself is an exemplar of avas chinam, of love that wasn't even warranted or deserved. And yet Rachel showed that love. And therefore, if Amalek attacks us because of hatred, it is the power of the ohev, that could be misgaber over a mullet. Similarly, in terms of the Zera Recha, all of the brothers that were mishtatef in Mechilas Yosef are guilty of sinas chinam. It is only Yosef that was the victim, and Binyamin, who did not participate in the Mechira, who are free of the pagam, of the defect of sinas chinam. And because they are free of that pagam, they can win over Amalek. So in other words, if the first pagam of Amalek is Rafu Yedeyam in HaTorah, the second pagam of Amalek is sinas chinam, and that is merumas in the second encounter. Because the second encounter happens after Aaron died, and the Ananei HaKavayt are nishtalek, because indeed the Ananei HaKavayt are only in the merit of Aaron, like the Mon is b'schus Moshe, the Ananei HaKavayt are b'schus Aaron, and the Be'er, the well, the traveling well, is in the merit of Miriam. But what is Aaron HaKohen's Mita? Pirkei Avos says, Aaron HaKohen's Mita is Ohev Shalom V'Redev Shalom, a lover of peace, a pursuer of peace. Aaron is the exemplar of Achdus, of Avas Yisrael, of Shalom. When he dies and Aaron HaKohen leaves, that means there was a Yerida in the Ava and the Shalom in Klal Yisrael. Amalek attacks us. So encounter number one, Amalek attacked us because of Rafu Yedeyam in HaTorah. Encounter number two, Amalek attacks us because of the growth of Sinas Chinam, or at least a reduction in the Ava Yisrael and the Ava. We now come to Purim. Purim, we actually see, and we don't realize, I mean, we should realize this, how vulnerable the Jewish people were. This is not just a story with a happy ending, which of course, Baruch Hashem, it is. But this is the classical near miss. In the language of Chazal, Nischaivu, Sayneihem Shel Yisrael, Sayneihem Shel means the enemies of the Jews, but that's a euphemism, it's referring to the Jewish people. That generation, all of Klal Yisrael, were chayav to be destroyed. And indeed, the Tanaim asked of Shimon Bar Yochai, the Talmidim asked of Shimon Bar Yochai, Mipnei Ma Nischaivu, Sayneihem Shel Yisrael, Kliya. And what you actually see is, what makes us vulnerable to Amalek is actually a combination of the first pagan and the second pagan. Let me mention the second pagan first because that's a bit easier to see. When Haman tries to convince Ahasuerus to give him authority to destroy this nation, which he never mentions, he begins his very infamous speech with the words, Yeshna Yam Echad Mefezer Mefeiret Ein Amim, there is one nation that is scattered and dispersed among the nations. V'daseyim Shonos Mikalam, they have different laws, and they don't, Haman is a classic anti-Semite, he's saying, they don't work, they're not productive, they take off holidays all the time, they don't mix well, they don't obey the king's laws, right? And Haman says, If a fly falls into their wine, they just take out the fly and drink the wine. But if your majesty touches the wine, you got to throw it away. You're worse than a fly, you're worse than an insect, etc. And again, Haman, right, the Gemara says, Haman was a master at Lashon Hara, a master at slander, a master at bringing up every possible negative thing. Although it's not so different than the Israeli newspapers. But we also know this. We know from the Zohar HaKadosh that although the name of Hashem is not mentioned in Megillas Esther, right? That's why it's Hester, concealment. But Hamelech, the king, has a double meaning. Lefi Pshuto is of course Achashverosh, but it also refers to what's going on in Shemayim. By the same token, Haman, there's the Haman Lamata, the earthly Haman, and then there's the angel of Haman, the Koach of Amalek. So this discussion of the Melech talking to Haman is a mirror discussion, a double discussion. human Haman to human king, heavenly Makatreg to Melech Malchut and Moch. You got to read it on two levels. And indeed, the Medrash Taka says that when Haman says there's an Am Echad, Mefaizar u Mefayred Bein Amim, so what is the earthly Haman saying to the earthly Achashverosh? They're scattered, they're dispersed, they're mixed, in other words, they're powerless because they're so diluted. We can easily get them. But what is the heavenly Haman saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mefozer and Mefores. They hate each other, they're separated, they're polarized, there's machlokes. They don't deserve to be redeemed. In other words, the sinas chinam made us vulnerable to Amalek. Mefozer and Mefores. And that is indeed why the Midrash tells us that when Mordechai tells Esther about what's going on, Esther's first statement is, Leich Kenos is calling, let's gather everybody together. Because if we are vulnerable, because Mefozer u'mefored bein ha'amu, our tikkun can only be Leich Kenos, Achdus. It isn't just to fast, but to pray, be Achdus with unity. So we do see, in other words, the pagam that existed the second encounter of Amalek in the desert existed in the Purim story. But the first pagam exists as well. And this is a bit more subtle. The Gemara quotes a brisa, again, as I said before, the Talmidim asked Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, why are the Seineim Shel Yisrael, why are the enemies of the Jews, meaning the Jews, it's a euphemism, why were they Chayav Visa? So the first answer he gave was, Shenehenu Misa'uda Shel Eisai Rasha. Because in the 180 days when Achashverosh made his massive party, many Jews benefited. They got pleasure from that Se'uda, and for that they're Chayav Misa. The Gemara goes on and discusses, but that's only the people in Shusha. But I want to focus on Nenu Misudasa Shalosh Oretha. The Svasanis asks, I mean, what's going on? What is the worst they did? They ate trafe? They drank Yayanessa? Good, these are serious Averos. But for that genocide? For that a whole nation gets wiped out? So the Svasanis says a Gavaldika point. It doesn't say they're Chayav Misa because they ate at the meal. It says they're Chayav Misa because they enjoyed the meal. What is that about? So if you remember the Gemara and Megillah, I don't want to get into all the complications. The reason why Achashverosh made his party when he made his party is based on an erroneous calculation. He had concluded that the 70 years of exile, Yirmiyahu had said there would be 70 years of exile from the destruction of the temple to the rebuilding. Achashverosh calculated it from somewhat of an earlier date, and he figured the 70 years had expired. And if they expired and there's no Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is not going to redeem them. So the simcha was, there'll be no Geula, there'll be no Beis HaMikdash, Hashem has abandoned his people. The Svasemet says, if a Jew enjoyed that party, what is the Jew saying? Who needs Eretz Yisrael? Who needs Beis HaMikdash? For that, they were Chayav Kli. Not because they were eating trafe. Eating trafe is a very serious avera, but you don't get death for that. But because they no longer cared about Geula. They no longer cared about Mashiach. They no longer cared about Beis HaMikdash. They no longer cared about Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean when you stop caring? That is exactly Rafu Yedayim in HaTorah. Maybe you keep Torah, maybe you keep mitzvahs. But there's no she'ifa, there is no goal to growing. There is no goal to becoming better. There is no goal to going beyond whatever I am today. That's what I am. Demasik. That's enough. So, I think we are at liberty to say, the way the Svasemis understands, Nanu Misudasei Shalai Saharasha corresponds to the attitude of Rifya and Yadayim Minato. So now, essentially, I think we see a deeper meaning under the surface of the Vilna Gaon's comment. Mordechai is given three psukim, a reminder of the first encounter of Amalek after we left Mitzrayim, and then a reminder of the second encounter, which was the disguise after the death of Aram, and then a pasuk about the Purim encounter. And the shaychus is that the first encounter came because of Rafidin, roughing a day in HaTorah, and the second encounter came because of the death of Aram, Sinas Chinam, the lack of Achdus, the lack of Avos Yisrael. And Purim is a combination. The Nenu Misidasa Shalosu Arashah says, we don't care about Geula, we're happy where we are. Rifi and Yadayim. The person says, I don't have to grow. I don't need Eretz Yisrael, I don't need a Beis HaMikdash. But that's a paradigm for the attitude in life is, where I am is enough. And the Fuzer before it, the lack of Achdus in Avos Yisrael. So Memela, the following. Because Purim, we were bisakana, we were at risk, because we combined both chesronos at the same time, and a lack of Avos Yisrael, a pure, a machlokes, and a complacency and indifference and lack of passion for Torah. That is why, when Baruch Hashem, we were zeichet to the great Geula, the great Yeshua of Purim, albeit a Yeshua that was not an open miracle, Yeshua that worked through a whole series of events, Esther, concealment. Chazal understood that we must celebrate the victory over Amalek by correcting within ourselves the pagamim that made us vulnerable to Amalek in the first place. If the pagam that makes us vulnerable to Amalek is sinas chinam, on Purim, we work to overcome it by things like Mishloach Manos, sending food, Matanos Le'Avyonim, gifts to the poor. Because what is that inyan? The inyan is to be Mesakein, the Chavla, of Mefezer, U'Mefeirad Bein Ha'amim, with Achdus and Inyonim that are Marbe Reyes, that increase friendship. In fact, that's even brought down in many sources. That the reason why we send shalach manas to a shaliach, right? That ideally, I shouldn't give you shalach manas, I should get somebody else to give you shalach manas from me. Because if shalach manas is about being marbe reyes, increasing friendship, the more people are involved. According to that, shaliach is a shaliach, that we don't say, at least symbolically. You want to get more people involved in these inyanim. That is why it's brought down in Svarim. There's actually a special inyan to send shalach manas to somebody that maybe is not your best friend, somebody you don't get along so well with, to kind of show, no, we're still friends, we're yidden, we should love each other, we should care about each other. And then, of course, matanis le'avyonim is the epitome of rachamim and chanina. Again, let me also remind you, derech agav, that the Rambam says that there is indeed a greater mitzvah to be marbin matanis le'avyonim then shalach manas. We should think about that as well. But once again, these are exercises in rachamim, exercises in chanina. They are overcoming the mefozer, meforid ben ma'amim. But what do we do on Purim, or what is our general avodah on Purim that corresponds to roughly a day in the Natayra? So here, Chazal tell us on the pasuk, ki'amu v'kiblu. They accepted and they assumed upon themselves. What is the double lashon? So Chazal tell us, Kiyamu aleihem ma shekiblu kavar. They accepted upon themselves that which they had previously accepted. Purim is a day of Kabbalah Satara. It's actually Emes. Purim is a day of Kabbalah Satara. Kabbalah Satara happened on Shavuos. So the Gemara explains, the first Kabbalah Satayra was a Kabbalah Satayra that on some level we were forced into. Hashem held the mountain over our heads. Kafla Aleihem Har Kedigas. It was a Matan Torah with compulsion. Purim, we accepted out of love that which we had previously accepted under fear and compulsion. Now the emesis, Taisus, asks the obvious question in Masechet Shabbos. How can we say that the Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos was under compulsion? Are not the Jewish people praised because they said, Naseh v'nishma, we will do without even hearing? They said voluntarily. That's the whole Gadlus. So there are many, many answers. I don't want to go into all the answers now, but I just want to give you an answer of the Medrash Tanchum. It's really a Kella. Tosfos often quotes, well, not often, but with some frequency. Tosfos does quote Midrashim. So Tosfos learns Medrash, the Balei Tosfos learns Midrashim. And this is a Medrash Tanchum. The Medrash Tanchum, which Tosfos does not quote, actually asks this very question. How can I say, Kokbalem Harkagigas? Hashem held a mountain over their head and they were forced into it. Did not they say Nasa Benishma? The Medrash Tanchum asks Tosfos that. And the Medrash Tanchum gives a teretz that Tosfos does not give. The Medrash Tanchum says that we willingly accepted the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, but we have to be forced into accepting the Torah Shebaal Peh. Why is that so? So there are a few different possibilities. One is Torah Shebichsav is very flexible. Don't do work on Shabbos. Sure, I'll go to the mall, I'll go to the beach, whatever. I won't go to the office. That's all. Torah Shebaal Peh, Lama Tes Malachas, all sorts of restrictions. But the Medrash doesn't go that way. The Medrash is mashma that it's not so much the observances of Torah Shebaal Peh, but it's the process of yegia, the work, the toil, the attempt to understand, how do I apply the Torah to all of the different situations, shakla v'tarya, the yegia. They didn't want that work, they didn't want that effort. And on that was Hashem said, you gotta take it, you need it. Kavaleh harkidikas. So now it turns out like this, according to the Medrash Tanchuma, if the pshat is, on Purim we accept it out of love, that which we had previously been forced to accept. It turns out that Purim is b'etzem a Kabbalah Satira of Torah Shebaal Peh, because Torah Shebichsav we had already accepted out of love. Right? So this is really true. I know in Yeshiva we like to connect almost every Moed to Torah Shebaal Peh. Sometimes it might not always be a direct connection, but Purim, we can rest assured, Purim is Vada, directly Mekushim to the Kayach of Torah Shebaal Peh. Indeed, Chazal say, La'yuda Maisa Ora v'simcha. Ora is the Ora of Torah, and the Ora of Torah is Torah Shebaal Peh, because it's brought down that in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ora HaKodesh is connected to Torah Shebichsav, and the light of the Menorah is connected to Torah Shebaal Peh. So Ora, Torah Or, is Torah Shebaal Peh. And that was Gairam v'simcha. So, here's the thing. What is the nafkamina between a person who accepts a commitment because they're forced into it and a person who accepts a commitment out of love? The difference is the enthusiasm and passion that you're going to bring to your endeavor. When I do something because I was forced into it, I'm going to do it because I'm scared something's going to happen if I don't, to be sure. But I'm going to do it listlessly, without enthusiasm, without cheshen, without passion. So again, if Amalek attacks us because of Rifya Yadaya, and I tell you, how are we besaking that begun? By a Kabbalah Satayla Bi'ava. Because when you do something with love, you do it with enthusiasm and cheshen. So Bikitzer, there are Amalek, we are vulnerable to Amalek only when there is internal pagimos within us that make us vulnerable to Amalek. If there's no Amalek within us, there's no Amalek without us. The Amalek within comes from two factors. Rifya yadayim in atayra, a lack of enthusiasm, a lack of passion, complacency, and mefozer meforot, the sinas chinam and the pure that exists. The Mela, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Yeshua, we look at that as a sign from Hashem that we need to be misaking the shayrish of what caused that danger.
Mishloach Manas, Matanas Le'Aviyayim, even the idea of reading Megillah Barabim, pursuing Nisim, are all bridges that create Achdus and unity and togetherness. And accepting the Torah not out of compulsion, but out of love, generates the enthusiasm, the mesikas, the sweetness, the passion, that is a tikkun for the rafu yedehem min haTorah. We unfortunately, we live in a world where there are many, many dangers. Physical dangers to Am Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael. Spiritual dangers to Klal Yisrael. And indeed, we have to know that the spiritual dangers to Klal Yisrael will even translate into security dangers to Klal Yisrael. Because without the kayach of Ruchnius of Torah that is megan on Am Yisrael and Chas V'Shalom, even on a physical level, we are very vulnerable. And in our polarized societies, we often look to blame others, and we look to talk about what other people are doing wrong, whoever the other people are. But in reality, as Reb Tzadok says, the ikar kiyam of Mechiyas HaMalek in our door is to be meicha, the shirashim of HaMalek within us that make us vulnerable, to embrace Torah, mitzvahs, and befrat the light of Torah Shabbat Peh, which was the ikar Kabbalah Satayra Purim, with love, enthusiasm, and islavos, to be mesakein the Riflin Yadayim, and the second, to build bridges of Avas Yisrael and Achdus and Rachamim, to be mesakein the Mefoizer Mefoiret Bein Ha'amim. And just as we were zeicha in Purim, that if we could be ma'akir, those Shurashim, Purim had Leich Kenaisis Kol HaYehudim, and Purim had Akimu V'Kiblu, that if we can be Iker, the Amalek within us, then Betach HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us a Yeshua of the Amalek Mibachutz, and may this Purim Taka be Isman of Gula and Yeshua of the Polish.